Take that. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Talking about the church this morning. And that's where Paul begins, at the church of Corinth. And that's where we'll begin. And we'll see how the Lord has. We'd like to preach all the way through Corinth, the church of Corinth, through Corinthians. It has a lot of things to deal with, a lot of things to talk about. And we want to make sure that we understand clearly. Amen. Here in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God be faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. Father, I come to the name of Jesus here this morning and thank you for the very Apostle Paul. Thank you, Father, for the inspiration of the Word of God. Lord, how you have published it and how you have preserved it. And Lord, we can see today as a church, a Father, of what a church ought to be and where a church should be. And Father, thank you this morning for instruction. Thank you, Father, for rebuke, and thank you, Lord, for correction and conviction. And we're asking now, Lord, that you give us the instruction, God, that we need. Father, that we can be obedient to you. Lord, that we can be pleasing to you. Lord, as a church this morning, Lord, we're not interested, Father, in doing it our way. We're not interested, dear God, doing it the way that we might seem fit. But Lord, we want to be obedient. God, we want to do it your way. Father, help us today to make that clear and make it understandable. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Raymond talking this morning about being a Baptist and of course, being a Christian supersedes being a Baptist. We want to make sure that that's clear. There will be many, many people in heaven that are not Baptist. And there'll be many, many people that are Baptists that are not in heaven. And so we got to make that clear this morning. But you say, how do I know where to go and what to do? Well, here's how you'd know. And quickly, I'm going to say this because we're going to deal with the church this morning. But you take the Bible, you go all the way back to Antioch. And from Antioch, you go all the way back to Jerusalem, the church of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2. And that's where the church of Jerusalem began. And you take that church out of Acts chapter 2, and they learned on the apostles' doctrine. We understand that Jesus is the foundation, but upon that foundation is built the prophets and the apostles. And so with that apostles, which were the 12 that Jesus purposed, or He has commissioned to be out, and upon that, you take what they believe, the doctrine, the practice. And you take that thought, and you take that truth, and you have a application of that. You look at the Baptist, you look at the Methodist, you look at the other Protestants, you look at the Catholic, you look at the Muslim, you look at the Hindu, you look at Judaism. You put them all in line. And when you put them all in line, each of them have their own beginnings. When were they founded? And who founded it? And what's the practice? What's the doctrine? And what's the purpose? And all of them have their own. You take that, there might be 100 of them, and then you apply the Bible to it,
And which one is comparable and equal to the Bible is the one that is right. I'm not choosing. The Bible chooses. So you take the Bible out of Acts chapter 2, what the church is, and all the teachings of the apostles, and you make a parallel or a mirror to it, and wherever which one is mirrored to the Bible is the right one. Now, you take all 100 of them, and each of them are different. So they're not all the same. So they're not all mirrored to the Bible. I've chosen in my life for Baptist to be the one that's mirrored. But the problem with that is there's 100 Baptists. You got Southern Baptists. You got Independent. You got Missionary. You got Free Will. So now we got another category of 50 Baptist churches. And so we got to take the same principle, the Word of God, and make application to it. I've chosen, this is what Brother Raymond talks about conviction, I've chosen the one that's mirrored to the Word of God is the Independent Fundamental Baptist. That's what I've chosen. Does that mean that I'm right? Does that mean I'm wrong? It doesn't mean anything. All that means is I know in my heart that the closest to the Bible is the Independent Fundamental Baptist. But then we take Independent Fundamental Baptist, and they've got weird ones in that. You've got those who are over here on the left who want to fight the government, and they want to do picket signs at the abortion clinics, and they want to kill everybody that's not heterosexual. Well, that's not mirrored to the Bible. So you've got to narrow it down. And I would say today, Glory Baptist Church is independent of the Independent Baptist churches. So, if you further discussion, you can ask me. And we'll discuss it even further. But that's where we are, and that's how we are, and that's where I get my understanding of it. Some people say, are you Baptist? I'm Baptist by conviction. Are you Baptist all the way through? I am. And I can tell you, church, that there's ever comes a time, and we're getting close, when that Baptist don't represent what I represent, I'm taking it off. And so I'm not held to that. I'm held to the doctrine of the Bible. Amen? And so we just got to make it clear that we're not held to the Baptist, even though the Baptist Independent Fundamental is what we feel is closest to the doctrine of the Bible. But if that changes, we're changing because we're going to stick with this. Amen? The Bible is what we stick to. And so it's our... And by the way, again, Baptist, I don't want to spend too much time because I have so many other things to say, but the Baptist, in the way of its behavior and behavior, its doctrine and distinctives, has any man founder. You'll find that we go all the way back to Antioch. We go all the way back to Jerusalem. That's where the beginning of where we come from. There's no founder like a Methodist. No founder like a Presbyterian, or Jehovah's Witness, or Mormons, or Muslims, or whatever. You can go all the way back. We find that we come right out of the roots and the grounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why I'm where I'm at. Amen? I will not change, by the way. I've seen some change. It's not going to be me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It kind of stirred my heart up there a little bit, Brother Raymond, and just wanted to get that out before it gets swelling up. You know, get festered. You don't want to get festered. And so here in Corinthians chapter 1, I want to say, number one, concerning the book of Corinthians here, of course, God has given it to Paul to write. And he's writing to the church at Corinth. This church, if you look through it, and you know the history of it, everybody does, it's a corrupt church. It's a carnal church. It's a church that has a remnant within the church that is obedient and faithful to the Lord, but there's others that are not that way. So we find that Paul is doing a lot of correction. Paul's doing a lot of rebuking. Paul's doing a lot of correcting. God and Paul is trying to get the church back in vision, back in order. You know, Corinth was ate up with idols, and Corinth was a wicked city. And Corinth had many, many, many things of wealth, and it had a lot of resources, and It had a lot of idols and a lot of worship of Satan and the worship of devils. And so when Paul went to Corinth in Acts, you find that, man, he was fighting a lot of things and a lot of opposition and a lot of demonic behaviors. And these people, if you find out, man, they were homosexuals and they were drunkards and they were murderers and they were rapists and they were vile and depraved and they got saved here in the church of Corinth. And so we find that it didn't take long for the church in this beginning, it seems, to veer off. And so we're going to deal with that. But I want to say the number one thing that I noticed in the first 10 verses is that the church is the church. And when the church is the church, God can bless it, amen, and God can use it for His glory and for His honor. And I want to talk about that this morning, about the church this morning, and the church that is real, and the church that is right, and the church that God will bless and God will use, and no matter what condition it finds itself in, and no matter what circumstance that we're in, you say, well, we're living in 2016, and well, the market dropped 1,000 points this past week, and ISIS is everywhere, and there was a man that was arrested in Texas, and another man that was in California, and all over, and all 50 states have some sort of ISIS movement or ISIS groups in it, and you look over there with Iran and Saudi Arabia, and well, that's about to bust open, and we had some men die in Pakistan of our military, and economically and physically and materially, and the guy over there in Korea, man, in North Korea, he's a crazy fella, and he's saying he dropped a hydrogen bomb and blew up all this, that, and the other. And you say, man, we're living in dangerous grounds. But listen, it doesn't matter our circumstances. It doesn't matter what's taking place outside. It doesn't matter the situation we find ourselves in today. It doesn't matter what's happening around. The church is the church. And we've got to know today, if you're really the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, things will not affect you to the place where you go off into other directions and other places. But I believe first this morning is the church. What is it? Who forms it? What is it made out of? Who's in charge of it? I mean, who is the responsible party to it? And who is the one who's going to see it through? Jesus made a statement back in Matthew. He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Wow, what a great statement that is. I mean, what a powerful statement that is. The gates of hell. You can't get no more demonic than that. You can't get no more satanic than that. You can't get no more of the God of this world who hates God and hates Israel and hates Christians and wants to destroy the church, the enemy of man's soul today, the devil himself. And God said, it shall not prevail against the church. Well, some man's got to be in charge of this thing. I mean, we got to have our guns put back. We got to have military weapons somewhere in this church. I mean, we got to have our rockets and our airplanes and our navy. The church's navy. And listen, man, we've got to have plans and we got to have procedures and we've got to have things set up so when we get attacked that we're going to have everything in order. The food, the water, the armor, the training, the plans, the escape routes. Hey, listen, the church has got to get ready for this great battle. No. No, the church has to be the church. That's all. Very simple. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who wants to take us over. Hell can't do it. It doesn't matter who wants to change us. They can't do it. It doesn't matter who wants to come in and do this and do that. It don't matter. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And I promise you, it won't. If the church is the church. Now, when the church ceases to be the church, all hell can be destroying in here, dividing in here, troubling in here, The doors were shut. They put boards on the window. It no longer will be a place of worship. It'll be some pottery house or some manufacturing place. It'll be something rather than the house of God. The church this morning, and I'm speaking to the church, you've got to be determined in your heart in 2016 that I'm just going to be the church. And if you do that, nothing will stop us. Nothing can destroy us. And I like that. Amen. I want to say concerning the church, I noticed number one, there's the church is made up of the local church. The local church. Now, I'm not a universalist. The universalist believes that there's a church and you can go this morning and you can have church on the lake. I don't believe that. I can have church in a deer stand. I can have church there at my work. I can have church anywhere I want to have church. That's not what I believe. I do believe, though, that there are people in this world who may even live in America, who may live across the world, who have repented of their sins and they have believed the Lord Jesus and Christ has received them into the Beloved and the Holy Ghost of God dwells in their heart. And I believe they are lovers of God, they're followers of Christ, but yet they don't have a church because there's not a church where they're at. That doesn't make them someone who's unfaithful. That doesn't make them someone who's disobedient. I believe in my heart, somewhere in a remote world today, somebody could say, maybe listening to my message over there in Tunisia. Well, there ain't no church, amen. They're saved and born again. They got little bits and fragments of the Word of God, and they're loving and gaining and growing in their own pace. But there's no Baptist church, independent, fundamental Baptist church in Tunisia. So we're going to look at them and say, you're not part of the church. I don't believe that today. I believe they're much as part of the church as we're part of the church. But the church today is demonstrated and it is revealed by the local church. Local church is too important today. Now, a lot of people just throw us off to the side. I'm going to say, number one, concerning the local church, the priority of it. The priority of it. Paul saw fit through the Holy Ghost of God and under the leadership of the Father that he would write a letter to the church at Corinth. A local church. Paul, with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, saw it to be a priority. If God thinks the local church is priority, that He would send Paul to write a church to it, to correct it out, then don't you think that God and you and I ought to think it's priority? It's important. The local church is important. The local church is needed. The local church is essential. I mean, I'm telling you this morning that if we've come to the place in our hearts and lives and think that the local church is not a priority for God and it's not important and needed and essential, then we're doomed. Many people have discounted the local church today. Many people have come through, hundreds of people have come through these doors over the past 20 years and they no longer want to support. They no longer want to pray. They no longer want to be part of. They no longer want to sit under and do and be and practice and do as all God asks them to do. And they have now discounted the Bible by saying that the importance of the church is less. How many church members do you know today that are sitting in their home tonight getting ready for the NFL and they're drinking their beer and eating their barbecue and they ridicule and making fun of the church and the way that it is and they say they're a Christian? There's a place for them. God was not happy with that. God don't save you, change you, fill you with His Spirit, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life so that later on you will discard yourself from the church. That's not how God works. You better make sure, dear Christian, that the church, the local church, and it's this Glory Baptist Church at 211 Brand Lane, if you're a member of it, you better keep it important. You better make sure that this church is a priority for you. You better make sure that this church is needed for you and it's essential for you. That there's no other church in all of the world. And if there is another church, that you think is more important and more essential and more needed. But then after the service this morning, you need to go to that church and attend that church and join that church and give to that church and pray for that church and be part of that church rather than this church. Amen? We're not interested in people just showing up and then having their presence, and we're favored with that. And then they don't pray for us, and they don't give to us in the way of tithe and offerings. And we got 15 or 13 missionaries that we support, and they're not part of that. We go out and do the work of evangelists, and they're not part of that. Hey, listen, friend, the church in your heart, as it was in the heart of Paul, and is it in the heart of God, that the church must be a priority. It's essential. It's needed. It's important. According to the Bible. How will we find these things? We say, where do you get that from? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, don't turn there, but Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I mentioned some of this a while ago, but the Bible says that the church is being built by Jesus. Jesus said, I will build my church. That's priority to Him, I think. I don't think He's building a synagogue. I don't think He's building the temple. I don't think He's building a bridge. I don't think He's building a fellowship hall. I don't believe He's building a gym. I don't believe He's building a business. He said, I'm building my church. It's a priority for Jesus. Hey, friend, it's important to Jesus. It's necessary for Jesus. It's a needed thing for Jesus, or He wouldn't build it. And I tell you right now that it is a priority to Jesus, because He said that I'm going to build my church. He's still building it, by the way. He's not through building it. He's still in the process of building it. He is not only the founder, but the builder of the church. So we find Jesus said it's a priority to Him. The second thing He says, not is it being built by Jesus, but it is the most powerful force that all the world can endure. Listen, hell can't destroy it. Devil can't defeat it. And the world can't deny it. You can be part of a lot of organizations. You can be part of the Masons and be one of those guys. Or you can be part of any kind of other Salvation Army, or be part of any other group today that come together and meet and have dues and this, that, and the other. But friend, the only organism, the only force that Jesus Christ is building today, the only force that His hands and His heart is in, the only force today that Jesus Christ is all in and all for, who's the head of, is the church today. And hell can't destroy it, and the world can't deny it, and the devil can't divide it. I'm just telling you this morning, the church is priority. Is it to you? You can leave it. You can let it go. You can let it die. You don't have to attend it. You don't have to do as it ought to be done. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to be concerned about its welfare. Hey, if you don't want to come to Sunday school, don't. If you don't want to come back tonight, have it your way, baby. It's not that important. It's not a priority. See, this morning, I think I would get in all if I was interested in this church thing and Jesus is building it, and He said that about hell, about how hell can't destroy it, and how the world can't deny it, and how today the devil's not going to be able to cause it to do anything or touch it in any kind of way. Guess what I want to be part of? The church. Man, I'd want to join its choir. Amen? We got one bench for a choir. Can't even get nobody in one bench. Hey, I tell you what, I would want to join, be part of its team, amen? Be part of its Sunday school. I wouldn't let a Sunday school go by if I knew that the church was that important, that when I get in there, we're going to learn about Jesus, who's building the church, by the way. And He's the one who said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And boy, the church. Now I wouldn't be around His people in fellowship. I wouldn't miss a meal. Man, listen, friend, whenever there's meal, that's some good eating. And man, it's God's people there. I'd want to be there, amen? I wouldn't want to miss it. Listen, I want to be part of everything there is. There's nothing more important or more necessary or more needed to me than Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And Brother Larry, if we got a meeting on Thursday and Friday and Monday and Tuesday, them are equally as important. The church is high priority in my life. I'm talking about Christians now. If you're not a Christian, well, then it's not that so. Because Jesus said that it was. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Bible says that the church is growing daily. Do you know every day for 365 days a year, somebody's being saved? In all the world, the church is growing. The church is growing. You say, well, my church is dead. Grandma, because you're dead. But the church is growing. I ain't never seen anything yet dead that grows. I'm just saying, listen, friend, don't be part of death. Don't be the one we look to and say, our church is dying. Why come our church is dying? Because the people are in it dying. But the church is growing. I want to be part of that, don't you think? I mean, it's very important to me to know that, man, the Bible says that Jesus is saving every day. How says the Lord addeth unto the church daily. We have no idea what's going on anywhere else in the whole world. All we know is going on right now. You say, well, Brother Larry, ain't nobody got saved today. No, yes, they have. You just don't know about it. You say, well, Brother Larry, how do I even know about it? Well, in heaven, you might get to know about it because it may be some missionary that we're supporting, like old Brother Terry down in Sri Lanka, that he's preaching this morning, or maybe last yesterday they went out and witnessed and passed out tracts and somebody got born again, and we're supporting Brother Terry down in Sri Lanka, and because of that ministry is the extension of this church, and that church now is involved in the fruit of it, and that fruit is now giving to the account of each one of you who have given your dollars, and now you and I in heaven someday will find our bank account in heaven and be full of souls. Where did all that begin at? If I wasn't part of the church, I wouldn't have nothing like that. The church, the Lord's added to every day. You say, what are you trying to say? But I'm just trying to get past verse 2. He says, unto the church of God. I'm just letting you know it's a priority to Paul and to God. It's a priority to the church of Corinth. Well, I'll tell you another thing that's going on with the church. The head of the church is Jesus. Ephesians 1:22. I tell you something else about the church. Not as it being built by Jesus, and the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. It's a growing every day. Jesus is the head of it. But the Bible says that there's going to be any glory given to Jesus, give it to Him in the church. So you're out boasting in your car and riding your lawnmower and out there on your bike and living out there and shooting your basketball and fishing up your fish and all those kind of things. But the Bible says if you're going to give glory unto Jesus, then give it to Him in the church. So when I get to come to church, what does God want me to do here? He wants you to give glory to Jesus. Bring praise and honor to His name. Don't walk in here with feeling sorry for yourself. Don't walk in here having your nose bent. Don't walk in here having some kind of edge with somebody. Walking in here like you're Sybil or somebody with seven different lives and different people. You don't know who you're going to be when you talk to somebody. Amen. Hey, that's not me. That's George in me. Hey, that's not me. That's Anna in me. That's not me. That's Mike in me. Well, who are you? Every time we get to see you, you're different. The fact of the matter is, the church today is one that's a priority. I mean, it's such a priority today that if you're going to give glory unto Jesus, the Bible tells us to give it to Him in the church. Ephesians 3:21, if you want to know the Bible verse. Ephesians 5:25, the Bible says that Jesus loved the church. Jesus loved the church. God loved the world. But Jesus loved the church. Ain't that something? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Look it up. You don't tell me the church ain't a priority. only thing that Jesus said He loved is the church. If you don't love the church, you love something that Jesus only loved. Ain't that something? Say something else. Jesus said that He's going to present to Himself a glorious church. Ephesians 5, verse 27. Don't tell me that ain't priority. Say something else. In Ephesians 5, 29, Jesus said that He nourishes and cherishes the church. Nourishes it and cherishes the church. You don't think it's important to Jesus? I mean, I done gave you eight things that can give you an idea about the church of God. How the priority of it is, the importance of it, the needfulness, the essential of it. I tell you, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. Where are you going to get truth from if you don't get it from the church? Hey, out in the world today, everybody wants truth, right? Give me truth, give me truth, give me truth. You do not have truth outside of church. The pillar, what holds up, the strength, the power of truth is the church. The ground, the foundation, there's no truth outside the church. You want to refuse the church? You want to deny the church? You want to resist the church? Then you can resist truth. You say, I can be a Christian without the church. No, you can't. Not the local church. You can't do it. Study it out. I don't need the church. Yes, you do. I don't have to go to church. I ain't going to be faithful to church to be a Christian. No, you can't. Find that in the Bible. Please find it in the Bible. I'll show you in the Bible where you're wrong. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. The Bible says that the church is written in heaven. The church. Who's written in heaven? The Buddhists? The Hindus? The Muslims? The Catholics? The Baptists? No! The church. Written in heaven. So we find the local church is very, very important. You find, friend, anything and everything that God does through the Jesus Christ is done through the church. I can't be a pastor unless I come through a church. We can't start a ministry outside unless we have a church. You got a bunch of churches out there today who the pastor of that church is really not a pastor of that church, but maybe a CEO of the church or a president of the assembly. And he gets mad at one church, or he gets some other split goes on in the church or something else, and he runs over here, and he goes down to the government, he gets a 501c3, and he goes over there and gets a few five, six, seven families, and they decide we're going to go over here and get this storefront. They open it up and call it ABC Gospel Church. ABC Gospel Church is now started. It's considered a church by the government. It's considered a church by the people. But Fred, that's not where churches are birthed from. Churches birth church. People don't birth churches. Churches are not started out because somebody was disgruntled. Oh, can I just say it here today? The church is priority. I pray that it is for you. I'm going to move on. So I'm sure that you're probably sick and tired of hearing that. I even noticed, I got two more things I just found. James chapter 5, it says that if you are sick, call for the elders of the church to pray for you. I wonder where you're going to go get that at. You go to the doctor, hey doctor, pray for me. Most doctors that I know are atheists. They don't believe in God anyway. Man, I'm sick. Where do I need to go? Do I need to go to the government? Oh, yeah, you go to the government, they'll give you a shot. Matter of fact, you go to the government, they'll just tell you, what do you want? Oh, I need a bottle of pills and I need a shot. Okay, no problem. Boom, 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 and here you go. Taxpayers pay for it. Don't worry about that. You don't have to pay for your own health care. We'll pay for it. All those hard-working, tax-giving people who go to work every day, that has to go to work and work hard every day and go through all the drudgery and all the stress and all the difficulty of working. Oh, we'll pay for you. Another subject. The fact of the matter is, where are you going to go when you get sick? The Bible says, come to the elders. They'll pray for you. That's important. The priority. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the church is going to be raptured before the end of the world, and it was Jesus who's going to come back to receive her. Ain't that something? Of all things in all the world that Jesus is going to come back and receive, and it's called the church. I would think this morning, with just a small amount of preaching on just that church of God, that it would be priority to you. To Jesus, the church is important, necessary, essential. He has given her pastors, Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says that it is God who is Jesus Christ has given gifts unto men. They're called pastor teachers. And He has given to the church so the church would mature and the church would grow. Ephesians chapter 4, look it up. And I would say to you, dear friend, that you're not going to grow and you're not going to mature and you're not going to be what God would have you to be without a pastor. This ain't anything on me. I just happen to have the position. The Bible says very clearly that if you're ever going to get any further than you are at salvation, you're going to have a pastor in your life. You've got to have somebody that will come to you and preach to you, to love you, that you must submit to, that you must obey, and that you must understand that they have an authority over you, and that they pray for you, they're watcher out for your soul. And friend, the benefit of that is that you make sure that you do what you ought to do so that He may do it in joy. I'll be honest with you this morning, I've been a pastor for a little while. It's not always joyous when people don't want to listen to you. If they want to do it their way and live how they want to live, it becomes a great hurt and a great burden. But it's funny that Jesus, of all things that He did, He gave pastor teachers to the church. Wow. The church of God. I would say He has given church gifts. We see the apostolic gifts in Corinthians, and we'll go through that sooner or later. We see the gifts in Ephesians. We see the gifts in other places. And we find gifts the church has. The church of giving. The church of administration. The church, the gift of teaching. The gift of exhorting. There's so many gifts, friend, that has been given. And isn't it odd that God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, would think that the church is so important, essential, and needed that He would give each one of you that are here today, the Bible says in Corinthians, that you're placed in a congregation, you're placed into the body, in the body that God's placed you in here. He has given you certain gifts that you may have those gifts that the church may flourish because of your gifts. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? It's in the Bible, by the way. And so we find God gives the church gifts. Not everybody can be the pastor. Not everybody's an encourager. Not everybody has the gift of giving. Some do, though. We thank God for them. We find also that He gives the church the Holy Ghost of God. He don't give any other sect or any other group except His church. The church is the only one that has His Spirit. He also has given her faith and joy and peace. You look at all around the world, all the groups and all the organizations and all the meetings and all the assemblies and all the gatherings. The only gathering and only assembly that Jesus Christ has given faith and joy and hope to is the church. I would think it's a priority. Who's greater than Jesus? Who knows better than Jesus? Who corrects Jesus or counsels Jesus? Through all His body, that's the church. The local church is the bride. If you and I are saved this morning, this local church would be a priority. And a priority in so many different ways. Its looks, its behavior, its doctrine, its existence, its future is priority. I'll tell you what I would do if I knew that I was a stumbling block or I was one that was creating within the church something that caused the church not to grow or not to be what God had it to be. I'd be scared to death. Because Jesus is the one who is the priority of it. Number two. Not the priority of it, but the place of it. We notice in verse 1, it says, unto the church of God, and we just got to talking about that, which is at Corinth. And so we see a place of it. So the local church has a place, which is at Corinth. In other words, there's a local assembly at Corinth on Sunday morning, which is this morning, and we come together and we assemble together at a local address, 211 Brand Lane, Stafford, Texas. That's what we do. Why do we do that? Because it is the local assembly that's priority to us. And it's this local assembly. He's talking to the church of Corinth. So all of the members of Corinth are coming to the address of Corinth. So there is a local assembly, but there's a local activity. The activity is going on at this locality. And whatever we're doing, whatever we're practicing, whatever we're behaving, whatever we're acting, all members are there at the location. You're not part of the activity if you're not here. But if you're here, you're part of it. But if you're not here, you're not part of it. But you're still responsible for what's going on here if even you're not here. Ain't that something? Now, one of the things that is really helpful to you for those who don't come is that we have on sermon audio everyone that message that we preach is on there. So you can go back and listen to it at your own earliest convenience. But it hasn't always been that full. If you miss a message, you miss it. But I can promise you something. You listen it to by the way of sermon audio versus you being here present, it's not the same. It's different. We find the place, the assembly of it, the activity of it, the local address. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, where do you belong? You belong at this address. Not at no other. If you're not at this address, you're at the wrong address. The church is priority. Amen? I'm just saying. On Sunday night, tonight, when you look about 6 o'clock, go outside and see where your address is at. If it's not 211 Brand Lane, you're not in the right spot. Not in the right place. We got local assembly down here. Can I say to you, in the thought of this, the place of it, and what's going on, but in this place, it has its own pastor. Amen? There's only one pastor here. It's the church's pastor. You sit under the other body else, you're sitting under the wrong pastor. If you're a member of this church and God's called you to this place and God set you here with your gifts and God has put in your heart that you join up with this assembly, well then this is the assembly that you sit under and this is your pastor that you're under. You don't have two pastors, three pastors, four pastors, five pastors, six pastors. You say, I got Pastor Hagee. I got Pastor Joel. And I got Pastor Larry. No, in that list you don't have Pastor Larry. You might have Hagee and you might have Joel. I refuse to be part of that group. This church and the way that it is today, the place of it, we find that it has its own responsibilities. See, the church at Corinth, Paul is not talking to the church of Ephesus. He's not talking to the church of Galatia. He's not talking to the church of Thessalonica. He's talking to the church of Corinth. So now this church has its own responsibilities. We can't look at Calvary Baptist Church, Brother Gary Britton, Parkwood Baptist Church, Brother Mark Thrift, and say, listen, we got to do it the way they do it. We got to do it how they do it. No! We have our own responsibilities. We are completely under the head and the guide of the Lord Jesus, and we're responsible for everything we say and do. Every man should give an account of himself before God. So we find, but I'll tell you something else about that. We have our own accountability. You got to give an account someday. You're responsible to each other. You're responsible for this church. We're all responsible for its well-being, its health, the financial aspect of it, the outreach of it. We're all responsible. We're all accountable. We have our own pastor. We have our own membership, and we have to be, because we have a place, according to the Bible, under the church of God, the priority, which is at Corinth. That's the place. And thirdly, and I close, the people of it. The assembly is made up, not only is there a priority, not only is there a place, but the people is the church. The people of it. Well, I want to show you a few things. Number one, I want you to show you, the Bible says, to them. Look at verse 2. To them. Unto the church of God, that's the priority. Which is at Corinth, that's the place. To them, that's the people. He begins to describe now who makes up the church. Who is it that the church is called the church? Number one, the church is those that are called out ones. The word church is ekklesia. It means called out. You're called out. If you're part of the church today, then you've been called out of the world. You've been called out. Whoever you were, wherever you were, whenever you were, God in the way of His Word and the Holy Ghost of God has drawn you. He has moved you. He has come into your heart and your life. He has persuaded you to turn from wherever you was going, to turn from whomever you were, and turn from whatever you thought that it might be. And you turn your back to that, and you turn to Jesus, and you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. He became your God. You became His child. And since then, friend, you now have been called out. So the church is made up of people who are not still in the world, but called out of the world. And if you're still not out of the world today, then you're not in the church. I just want to make you plain to that. You might have the clothes of church. You might have the words of church. You might look like churchy. But down deep in your heart, you're still in the world. You still got the world all in you. You're still for worldly things. You're still for the things that you used to do, that you used to watch, that you used to participate, that you used to do before you say you got saved. You're still doing that. You're still being that. You have not changed. You're still the same. You're not any different. All you do is go to church every once in a while. You wear different clothes now, and you got a different attitude from time to time. But down deep in the heart of hearts, you're still the same. You've been called out, but you haven't been out. Holy Ghost of God one day has called on you to call out. And you say, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be saved from the world. I like my world. I like the way I was. I like the way I did. I want to continue to do all that I did. And I'm just going to put church involved. And that's why you're not faithful. And that's why you're not committed. And that's not why you're not reliable. And that's why we can't count on you. And that's why, friend, you'll never ever be where God had you to be, because you still just has not been come out of the world. Now, you might not like that, but that's okay. It'll help you. It'll help you in the long run this morning if you disagree with God and say, God, I haven't come out of the world. I still have its philosophies. I still have its ideas. I still have its passions. I still have its TVs. I still have its music. I still have its words. I still have its attitude. Man, I'm trying hard to change, but just can't get there. It doesn't come with your change. It comes when you get called out. And the Bible says the church is a called out assembly. The word called out, the word church means a gathering of citizens of the people convened at a public place. So, Glory Baptist Church is the church. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have made a call out. The members of this church, if you're not a member, well then you're not, you can come if you want to, we hope that you do, but you're not required to. But if you're a Christian, you should be a member somewhere. If you're not a member somewhere, then something ain't right with your walk with God. Because as a Christian, you gotta have a pastor, and with a pastor, you got gifts, and with the gifts, you got to give unto the church. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, come unto the church and give on the first day of the week, and to give. So you're in a mess. If you're a Christian, and you don't have a church, you don't have a pastor, and you're not a member of somewhere, and you're not attending it, you're not assembling with it, you're in trouble. Don't expect God's blessings. Don't expect God to answer your prayers. Don't expect God to do anything with you until you get your heart right with God. You can't be a lone ranger Christian doing as you please, not joining a church, not being under the authority of a pastor, and not doing what God's given you as far as gifts, and then participating with the assembly of it. You can't do it and be right with God. I know that's not happy preaching or fun preaching or enjoyable preaching. I know that it don't build big churches, but I'll tell you what it does. It builds people. And when you get that in here, and you get down here, you know what God wants anyway. The church of God at Corinth to them. Who are them? Those who have been called out. And now they're an assembly at Corinth. That's what it means. We got a call out tonight at 6 o'clock. Forever member. It means assembly of Christians gathered together to worship. It means a company of Christians. Number two. Doesn't only mean called out ones, but the people of the church I'm speaking of today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not only called out ones, but they're sanctified ones. The Bible says that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me, that is the workings of God, not your changing. Let's get this clear right now. Because at one day let's just use alcohol, because that seems to be a pretty good one. At one day, you was a drinker, you was a drunk, or you was a sipper, you was a teetotaler, whatever those guys are. You liked your wine cooler, you liked your little social drink, you liked your wine at dinner, and all those events that you have, and all those anniversaries and birthdays, and you really got into that. By the way, there's churches out there that said you can still do that. So, I'm just telling you, this church don't believe you can do that. The reason why, because we've got a Bible verse that tells us that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. So, I mean, it's your decision if you're going to be wise and you're going to be deceived. But anyway, we find churches that what God has done to you is sanctified you. Not you sanctifying yourself. Oh, I put down the bottle. That don't save you. I put down adultery. I put down pornography. I put down this. I put down that. I let that go. I finally don't get myself. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to act this way. I'm not going to hit my wife no more. I'm not going to run off with my husband no more. I'm going to stop threatening that I'm going to leave. I mean, all that kind of stuff. I'm done with all that. That don't make you Christian. But what does make you the church is whenever you're sanctified in Christ. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified in Christ means? That means that whenever you were a sinner and you were lost, undone without God, and you realized your position, you realized your condition, and you knew that you couldn't save yourself, you knew the wages of your sin is death, I'm going to go and die and go to hell because of sin that I've committed, and then I understood because of the persuasion of the Spirit of God and the clarity of the Word of God that Jesus is the only Savior for my sin. And Jesus died on the cross for my sin, and so I must, in a way of being born again, I must put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so that my sins can be forgiven and that I can go to heaven when I die. Amen? And so when that transaction takes place, the Bible says you're now sanctified. He sanctifies you. The word sanctify means that He has rendered or declared you to be pure. He has. So the church is made up of ones that are sanctified. In Christ, you have been rendered and declared holy. See, you can't be holy outside of Christ. But when you get saved, you become holy. You are declared and rendered that away. That word sanctified means that when you got rendered holy, you got rendered sanctified, you got rendered pure, you got rendered clean. Then the second thing, part of that rendering, is now you have been not only rendered and declared, but you have been now separated and dedicated to God. And this is what happens when a Christian gets saved or when a sinner gets saved. He becomes part of the church. He's no longer part of that crowd out there because of the workings of the blood of the Lamb and because of the power of salvation. God has now labeled you and marked you as being sanctified. And being part of sanctified means that within you, down deep in your heart and in your soul, that God has now dedicated you to Himself. That's what it means to be the church today. It's not you living your skippity-doo-dah day all the way down to heaven. No, the church, man, is those that Jesus Christ has called out to assemble. He called them out from the world. He's now put them and rendered him to be sanctified and holy. And then He has separated them and dedicated them to Himself. That's the church. What we see today is not the church, folks. What we see in churches today are not the church. There's remnants of them. By and large, it's not. It's not. Most people are trying to work their way to heaven by being good and being good to their neighbors and good to the lifeways and to the places of that you can give to the poor and you can be good to the elderly and to the handicapped and they're trying to do all these works and all these gestures and listen, all the churches, people who Jesus has just marked sanctified. You're dedicated to me now. You wonder why a real true born-again Christian comes into this church as some heathen and some rank depraved individual and you look at them and you say, boy, I tell you, their life's been tough. Oh, by hearing the Word of God and accepting the call of God by the wooing of the Father. And Jesus being lifted up, He draws them unto Him. He comes down to this altar. And as He gets down to this altar, friend, He begins to turn from his sin and turn to Christ. And Christ comes into his heart and saves his soul and sanctifies him, declares him holy. Oh, I know he looks unholy. I know everything he's ever done in his life is unholy. I know, friend, without Jesus coming into his life, he'll still be unholy. But, friend, he's going to do some unholy things. And he might still do some things that don't look good. But the fact of the matter is, when Jesus saves you, you are now rendered and you are now declared holy before God, sanctified in the Lord. And secondly, you have now been dedicated and given over to God Himself. You can't refuse that. You can't come to yourself and say, I'm saved, but I'm not going to do this and that. Man, listen, you're bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. When God dedicates you to Himself, that's why you see those dirty or rotten people that come to get born again, they get up and their countenance is changed. Their life is different. They might cuss just a little, but not like they used to. When they do cuss, they're so ashamed of it. And they stop watching porn. They stop drinking the beer. They stop running around on their wife. They stop being ugly to the children. They stop being unsubmissive to their husbands. They stay home for a little while. They stop spending money like it's water, and you find themselves loving the church and loving God and loving the family. You say, what happened to them? I'll tell you what happened. God dedicated them to Himself. Paul, when he says the church of God at Corinth, to them, that's who he's talking about. Now I wonder this morning, dear church, are you really the church? Or have you just called the name of Jesus and you got dunked in the baptistry as a tadpole? You're living in the flesh. And with your carnality, you think it's just hard to live for God. It's not. It really isn't. 27 years. Has it been hard? Not one day after I got saved. Now, the first 10 years before I was saved, I made a profession at 15 years old. And for 10 years, till I was the age of 25, It was the hardest and the worst life ever. Because I made a profession of faith. I got baptized in a Baptist church. I went down on the front at 15. My brother James Lovell was the pastor. He presented me to the church as being saved and born again. And now, what do I do? Because I was 15 years old. I was in ninth grade. And I go back to school. I know what I experienced on Sunday. I did get a little warm feeling, by the way. But at Friday nights, I still wanted to do what we used to do on Friday nights. I mean, man, listen, I love football. I love basketball. I love any sport there was. And man, that's what I love. All of a sudden, I start going to church, and the preacher starts saying some things that this is what Christians are, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can do that or not. And then I moved. I didn't like what he said, so I did what most people do. I moved out of that church and went to another church. I moved this church, Brother James Lovell. He was a preacher. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, he will nail it, boy. He was preaching, and he preached hard. He preached long. And man, listen, I ran from that place because I found a church over here, and boy, there was easy going. I mean, we played volleyball, we played basketball, we played softball. The girls had theirs; they got theirs. I mean, listen, when I got there and I started playing ball with them, and I was real athletic, and so they liked me. And I became over the whole sports program. Yeah, he said, "You ought to be a preacher." Okay. So man, I started preaching and I started going working in the program for youth on Wednesday night usually. Hawanas, man, I was a teacher in Hawanas and man, I was doing all this stuff. But for 10 years, it was a battle. I was always fighting. 1985, I went to Parkwood Baptist Church and there I ran into another preacher. Buddy, he was hammering on me, but I couldn't run no longer. I tried to live the Christian life under the Christian guise with the Christian words and doing the Christian thing. But down deep in my heart, I knew it wasn't right because it just was not me. The hardest thing I had to ever do on October 30th, 1988, was to bow my heart down on a Wednesday night and tell God I'm lost. Man, was that hard. Because everybody I've ever known up to that point for 10 years said I was one of the greatest Christians they've ever known. And I was the sorriest heathen and most deceptive you could ever know. When I got saved, I got sanctified. And I got dedicated to God. The burden was lifted. Now I live every day with ease, with naturality. I don't have to be anything I'm not. You can make me mad. You can make me glad. You can make me sad. And I'm just going to be the same. I don't have to get mad and watch my mouth. I don't have to get something and think if I'm going to steal it or not. Them days are gone. Not because of me, but because of Him. See, when I became the church, it made a big difference in my life. Now, when you become the church, it'll make a big difference in your life. Won't you do that today if you need to? Stand to your feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The people of it. Now remember, Corinth was a wicked, wicked place. And the church at Corinth was in contrast to that place of Corinth. They were different. They are different. My question to you this morning, are you different? Are you really the church today? I know you go to church. I know you might even be a member of a church. I know that you might even be part of church. But are you the church? This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. This is reality. The church, the priority of it, the place of it, the people of it. won't you come this morning? He said, Brother, I'm embarrassed. Well, I'd rather be embarrassed than go to heaven and not be embarrassed than go to hell. So I don't know what to say. You don't say anything. You just got to move towards God. God's moving towards you. You've seen Brother George. Are you 100% sure right now if you die, you'd go to heaven? 100%. 1,000%. Won't you come?